Our lesson today is found in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. We left off speaking to you last week how that these two that were on the way to Emmaus had such a wonderful revelation of Christ while they were sitting together, and Jesus broke the bread unto them, and then we find that he vanished out of their sight. And immediately they remembered how wonderful they had been listening to the sermon that he had given unto them, and how their hearts had been burning within them, and they immediately rose up and they returned back to Jerusalem. And when they came back to Jerusalem, they related unto the disciples who were gathered together about what they had experienced on the way, and how that he had made himself known unto them in the breaking of the bread. And the disciples had met these two with such a joyous report, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath been seen of Simon." Here they were, these disciples, rejoicing together that Jesus had been risen from the dead. And suddenly he appeared. He came into the midst of them while the doors were shut. And he spake unto them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." How wonderful did Jesus appear after he was risen from the dead. He did not appear too many times. And where that he stayed the 40 days after that he was risen from the dead is something that we can't pry into. And we may wonder where he went to, by whom he stayed, but the scripture is silent about it. But it is a sure thing that probably angels ministered unto him while he was still upon the earth. But here he appeared unto these disciples, and they likewise were terrified. They were affrighted when they saw him. They thought they saw a spirit. They hardly could believe the sight that they had. And to prove that he was the same Jesus, the one that had been with them 3 years, the one who had been crucified and nailed to the cross and died and buried, and the same one that now was standing before them, we find that he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He confirmed with these signs that he had on his body, in the nails that had been pierced through his hands, and likewise the side that had been pierced by the Roman soldier with a sword. He showed these things to his disciples. And when they saw that, that was enough for them. They knew that it was their Lord, their Savior, their Master. All these signs that he bore with his body, in the nails in his hands, and likewise the wound in his side, he carried with him when he went up to heaven. They are the signs, the scars, that he presents before his Father, which he suffered while he was here below. When he intercedes for his church, for his people, he presents these scars to his heavenly Father. We read in the book of Revelation that he is called the Lamb slain. There before the throne, he has these scars upon his body yet. And there is a day coming when he shall appear in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead, when he will likewise reveal these scars, these signs that he has on his body, and those that crucified him will likewise look upon him and see whom they have pierced, and they will mourn over him. Oh, what a mercy that he is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, interceding for poor sinners. Oh, that we may have an interest in his intercession. He appeared unto these disciples. They were filled with joy and peace in believing in him. They were happy as could be. What a reunion this must have been. They never thought they would ever see him alive, and there suddenly he was in the midst of them. Oh, my dear hearers, as it went with these disciples, it goes with the Church of Christ. Many times they have something from the Lord while they are under the means of grace, sometimes when they read the scriptures, sometimes when they pray, but a lot of times they think it's just imagination. They can't believe that it's from the Lord. And sometimes they're way down in the depths of misery, thinking, I never had anything from the Lord. But if the Lord appears, if he comes, he makes everything true what he has given. And then they are given to believe. Then they are glad too. Have you ever had something like that, my hearers? These disciples, they were glad when they saw the Lord. And now these disciples not only were given a revelation of their Lord and Savior again, but the Lord spake unto them and said unto them, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. He commissions them here. He sends them out into the world to preach the resurrection of himself, to preach the gospel, to build up his kingdom here on earth. He then gave them authority. He commissioned them. He sent them. He said that he would be with them. As my Father has sent me, his Father had sent him into this lower world to do the will of his heavenly Father. So he sent them to do his will. And likewise, he came into this world by his Father, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So he sent them out to minister unto the church, unto the people to whom he would send them. This was a divine appointment from God for these disciples, that they would be ambassadors, that they would be heralds of the gospel throughout the universe. And now not only did he commission them, but he breathed upon them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All this breathing upon them was to prove to them that all their strength and all their help would come from him. As when he created man, we read so distinctly that God breathed into Adam a living soul. He was the creator, Jesus Christ, and likewise here he breathed upon his disciples that they would have this spiritual life, and that they likewise would speak unto the people through what he would give unto them. That they not only were given to be sent, not only be given to have the Spirit abundantly at this present time, more than they had before, but on the day of Pentecost they would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they would be anointed from on high, and all they had to do is to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. But he also gave them a special commission. He said unto them, whose sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them, and whose sins ye retain, they shall be retained. It was then by the preaching of the gospel that they would prove who those were whose sins Christ had took upon himself and bore them in his body on the tree. He likewise commissioned them to give also this blessing, that under the gospel, those that were given by the Spirit to receive the word, they would be acquitted from their sins. And those who were not acquitted, unpardoned, if they remained in this state, the gospel sentences them to eternal punishment. They then were given likewise a very good spiritual discernment. They had something that others did not have. When you find Peter having two people come before him, a man and a wife, Ananias and Sapphira, immediately he discerned by the Spirit that they were hypocrites. And immediately he spoke unto them and they fell down dead before him. This power these servants of Christ received from him. We have likewise Paul, who likewise made Elymas, a man that was resisting the preaching and resisting one that was to believe in Jesus, this Elymas, he was smitten by Paul with blindness. But this only the apostles had as a gift from Christ. But these apostles then were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time. But we read so distinctly in the next verse, and one of the 12, Thomas, called Didymus, was not there. Was he not commissioned? Was he not sent? Verily he was. When it took place, the Bible doesn't give us notice of. But he was. He was sent out with Matthew and sent to preach and to perform miracles. This man, Thomas, he likewise remained in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost for several years. And after these several years, he went preaching the gospel to the Parthians, to the Medes, and to the East Indians. He went into East India, and he died in a place called Melapur. Tried to find out where it was, but I couldn't. No dictionary has this name in it that would give you a definite idea where this was. But the article says that several hundred years back, in the land of Portugal, they found Christians assembling together, having Christian worship, and they call themselves after the name of Thomas, which leads us to believe that Thomas was in Portugal and preached the gospel there. And these people, they took upon themselves to call themselves after his name. Now this Thomas, he was not with these disciples at this time when Jesus appeared in their midst. Why not? The Bible doesn't give us any reason. The commentary gives us quite a few reasons. It said that it could be that he was sick. Could be that he wasn't invited, that he knew nothing about the meeting. Could be, likewise, that he was detained, that he received company, and he couldn't go. Then it could be that it was his sin, that he didn't want to go. What it was, it's all a question mark, but he wasn't there. Now this teaches us too that it is a great blessing to be obedient unto God. For God has instituted these means that we have, the preaching and the teaching of his precious word, and he dwells where these means are. He is there present. And we shouldn't be, as some were in Paul's time, who did not assemble anymore with the church. For they had this custom of not assembling together anymore. It's an easy custom to fall into, especially if we have a worldly heart and a worldly mind, and we want to follow after the world. But the Bible teaches us that we should not do these things. We should be obedient unto God. It is here, under the means of grace, that God comes and blesses his word and uses it to the salvation of immortal souls. And when we despise the means and do not attend them, we are sinning against God in heaven above. Thomas, he wasn't there at this present time. And now when the disciples saw Thomas, they immediately related to him what had taken place. They said unto him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He was here in our midst. We were in this room and the doors were shut, and suddenly he came into the midst of us. What a surprise this was for us. And all to prove that he was the Jesus that we had been with 3 years, he showed us his hands, he showed us his side, and we all seen him, and all we're so glad to see him alive. What a wonder. If you would have been here, Thomas, you would have been rejoicing too with us. But Thomas, he hadn't been there. He hadn't seen this. He hadn't heard Jesus speak. He hadn't been commissioned either. And Thomas, he answers them and said unto them, except I see the print in his hand and put my finger in the print of those nails that were in there, and except I see the wound in his side and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This was the answer that
Thomas spake unto the apostles that were speaking unto him about this wonderful revelation that they had of Jesus Christ. Now, many, many commentaries, many ministers, they pick on this man, Thomas. They call him the unbelieving Thomas. Now, my hearers, when I look at the case, as I've looked so many years already at this man, I think this man, he's like so many, even of the children of God. There are many children of God who God distinguishes with many revelations. They have much from heaven. And there are others, they don't receive hardly anything. Still, they're children of God. God is sovereign in the dispensation of his blessings. And so, this man, when he heard this, he didn't say to them, I don't believe you. I think maybe it was something up in your mind. Something was a vision. I don't think that's true. He didn't say that. Never. You don't read that. It was a personal matter for Thomas. Thomas was to be an apostle. Thomas was to preach the revelation and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Thomas needed proof that Jesus had really been risen from the dead. Surely, you would say, well, didn't he believe the apostles? Oh, I sincerely do believe that he believed that. But he wanted something for his own heart and soul. So it goes many times. There may be some children of God listening to me. They've been in an assembly of God's people. Several people have had the voice. They've been talking. And they've been relating some of their experiences, something that God has given unto them. And they've listened and they've become jealous inside, but they could not rejoice as the person did that had the revelation. They probably said inside, oh, I wish that God would give me something like this and that I could rejoice in him. I think this was going on in Thomas when he was given to know that Jesus had been there. Oh, I think he said inside, oh, I wish I had been here. I miss that now, and I need him. Oh, that he would come to me, that he would make himself known unto me, that he would give me a sight of himself. These things, I think, were going on in Thomas. The Bible doesn't say so, but I sincerely believe that this was the case with this man. And now we find that Thomas, he went home again. And after 8 days, we read, then he gathered again together with the apostles. You see, Thomas, he didn't say in a fit of unbelief, no use me going. There ain't anything there for me. There's no use me going there. No, no. Maybe some of you have said that too. It was time to go to church. Otherwise, you always get on your knees. Otherwise, you pray that God would help you and give you an ear to hear and a heart to receive the truth. But it got so dead with you. You were so dormant, and you didn't even bother getting on your knees or didn't even think about going. You said to yourself, there's no use. It's a hopeless case with me. It's a lost matter with me. I'm not going to go. Oh, what a sad state to be in, my hearers, if this is the case with any of you. Oh, despise not the means of God. It's there that he comforts. It's there that he unties knots. It's there that riddles are explained. And there many times a despondent and a discouraged and a lost creature is given to rejoice under the word that is being brought. Come, my dear hearers, come under the means of grace. Whatever you do, do not discard them. That is where God dwells. That's where he promises to be. It's not the instrument, it's the word that is being spoken that God uses. And so Thomas, for a week, he was home. What was going on in Thomas, the Bible doesn't say. But surely the time came that they were to have another meeting. And Thomas didn't say, well, I'm not going to go. It's no use. It's a lost matter with me. No, no, he went. And who knows if he didn't get down on his knees before he went, if he didn't supplicate, and say, Lord Jesus, you were there last time. You showed yourself to the other apostles, and they rejoiced so in you. Won't you show yourself to me this time? Won't you come and visit me? Won't you make yourself known unto me? I think he was on his knees before he went to this place. Is this your custom, my hearers? When you come up to the house of God and you come to church, do you go alone first? Do you get on your knees? Do you seek God's presence? Do you ask him to give a blessing for your own heart and soul? Or do you not even think of this? Time to go to church, got to get ready, hurry up. Don't even get on your knees. Oh, my dear hearers, make it a practice, please. Get on your knees. It's there. When you come on your knees and lay yourself open before God and you bring your needs to him, then it pleases him sometimes. If he don't give you what you've been asking for, he encourages you. Oh, it's sweet to have an encouragement even under the word. But Thomas, he went. And when Thomas was with these group of apostles, that we find suddenly, while the doors were shut for fear of the Jews, suddenly Jesus stood in the midst again. He came. Oh, what a surprise this must have been to the apostles as well as to Thomas. Oh, he said the very same words, peace be unto you. Oh, my hearers, it was a personal visit this time for Thomas. Oh, he makes personal visits, my hearers. Has he ever given you a personal visit? Have you ever been in the church and it just seemed like he was speaking to you and nobody else? Have you ever received the word by faith, rejoiced in it? Oh, you didn't want the service to come to an end. It was so good to be there. Thomas, he had a case to be met. He brought that case to God before he went to this place. Have you got a case, my hearers? Are you anything like Thomas? Do you want a revelation of Jesus Christ to your soul? Do you ever ask him to reveal himself to you? Do you need him? Do you long after him? Do you hunger and thirst after him? All of this is going on in you, I'm sure you're on your knees. You're seeking his face. You're wishing that you likewise would meet him. Thomas, when the door went open and Jesus came in the midst of them, oh, what a surprise this must have been. Immediately the Spirit of God came down upon Thomas. Immediately he was given to see by faith this was his Lord, this was his Savior, this was Jesus with whom he had been 3 years when he had been preaching on this world. All the faith that Thomas received at this present time made all his unbelief vanish away. Oh, and he feasted with his eyes upon this precious person, Jesus. Oh, what he saw in him, my hearers, I cannot explain. I wish I could. I wish I had such a sight of him. I could tell you that something of his beauty, of his loveliness, of his all-sufficiency. Oh, Thomas, he seen everything in him. He was lost in amazement and in wonder that Jesus came in the midst and that Jesus came to visit him. A personal visit. Have you ever had one? Oh, my hearers, this is necessary for your comfort, for your encouragement, for the building up of your soul and faith. You must have a personal meeting with Jesus in this life. How could you love him if you don't know him? Thomas, he was immediately spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus singled him out and said unto him, Thomas, come here. Put your fingers in the nails and the imprints on my hand. And Thomas, take your hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. What do you think? Thomas did it? Scripture doesn't say that he did. He was so transported in such a rapture of joy that immediately he cried out, my Lord and my God. None of the other apostles ever had said this yet. Such a faith that this Thomas received. Oh, it's usually when we are in the depths, and when it cannot go anymore, then we are raised to heaven above. I've heard Dominie Romain say sometimes, we first have to go through hell before we get something from heaven, and that's true. Sometimes it's a hell inside, but when Jesus comes, it's a heaven. So it was with Thomas. He was given such faith to believe that Jesus was his Lord, was his God, was his Savior, his Redeemer, his King. He was his all and in all. He'd seen everything in Jesus. Oh, what a sight this man had of Christ. It isn't any wonder that he cried out, my Lord and my God. Oh, this Thomas, he was overjoyed. He was filled with peace in believing in him. Oh, there may be some amongst my hearers that wish that God would give them to be able to say, my Lord and my God. Oh, you may by faith appropriate him and claim him as such for your own soul. Why, you're richer than any person that's in this world. You're rich with the blessings of heaven, and you will be carried up to heaven in due time. Oh, what a mercy to be given such a precious revelation to our hearts as Thomas had. Thomas, then, he was given to hear Jesus say unto him, be not faithless, but believing. You know, to be faithless is graceless. To be faithless is to be dead, to not have the life of God in our soul. So this translation is nothing like in the Holland. In the Holland it says, Thomas, be not unbelieving, but believe. That's a vast difference, my hearers. You may have grace, and this grace be at such a low ebb, and you haven't any faith and exercise concerning anything that you had before. Darkness covers it all. And you may have many doubts and many unbelief rising up in you concerning what you have passed through. But the principle of life, the grace of God, is in your soul. You are not faithless, but you are in a state of unbelief. And there's only one that can lift you out of this, and that is Jesus, as he lifted Thomas out of it. So he does lift his people out of it so many times. For they so often get into this state, and they need to be lifted up above themselves. This Thomas was said, be not faithless. He wasn't faithless. This is a translation. But be believing. For Thomas, because ye have seen me, therefore ye believe. But blessed are they that have not seen, and yet believe. Oh, my hearers, Thomas had before him his Lord and Savior. It was easy for him to believe because the Lord gave him such an abundance of faith. But there are many that never had such a revelation like Thomas had. Many seen the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth. Many heard him preach. Many went to listen to him, probably daily. And they died in their sins. Just seeing him, just hearing him, is insufficient, my hearers. And there are many throughout the ages that this world has stood that never seen him with their natural eyes. But they have heard him by the medium of his precious word. They have been born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And these poor souls, they are waiting to be with him in glory above, where they will see him as he is. Oh, precious are those souls that have not seen him, but still believe in him. Oh, my dear hearers, faith is a wonderful blessing. It doesn't depend upon me and you. We can't take faith out of our pockets and say, here it is. I can't exhort you to believe either. Surely, we are taught from infancy that there are four kinds of faith. When we go to catechism, we learn these things. And we all have the first type of faith, which is a historical faith, and which is necessary for the saving faith. But this historical faith is insufficient for eternity. Oh, we may be gifted with wisdom and understanding. We may know the scriptures from the beginning to the end and still be without this saving faith. We may have a faith that can do miracles, and we may have likewise a temporary faith which comes so close to the real saving faith that we can't even discern it and still be lost. We need saving faith, my hearers. And who is the author of this faith? God. He gives this faith, and he works this faith in the hearts of his elect. And what is the first thing that he does? The scripture teaches us that the Spirit comes, which is the spirit of faith, convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And when this Spirit convicts us, you may believe that you are such a creature as the Spirit unfolds unto you. And while you are having this trouble with sin, you know, it says in the Bible, the devils, they believe and they tremble. There are many people that have such a strong faith, they never trembled in their life. And I'm sure if God comes with true faith in your soul, you're going to tremble because you can't stand before the majesty of God. You need somebody to stand in your room and place. All this faith is of the operation of the Spirit of God. And this faith is subject to ups and downs. There are times when faith is strong. There are times when faith is weak. We have examples thereof in the Bible. You take David. How strong he was in faith. He wasn't afraid of the lion. He wasn't afraid of the bear. He wasn't afraid of Goliath. In trusting to God, he slew them all. A little while later, we find, I will yet perish by the hand of Saul. And he fled out of the land, unbelief. Didn't have any faith in God anymore. Didn't have any trust in God. Oh, my dear hearers, Peter, he was one of the foremost of the apostles. He was the one who spoke the quickest and had everything to say. And he had such a wonderful testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And here we find him in the front of a maid. He didn't know him. He denied him. See where his faith was? We cannot exercise faith, my dear hearers. It's a gift of God, and he keeps it and holds it in his hand. And we have sometimes such strong faith that we could thresh mountains, as the Bible says. And then we have sometimes that it seems that we have no faith. We see that everything that we have had is nothing but imagination, and that we think we're going to be lost in the end. Oh, this true faith is a great blessing when it is in exercise. So it was in exercise by Thomas. And if any of you listening to me have ever had faith in exercise, then you have been given to rejoice. You have been glad. You have been given the truth in your very heart, and you believe it because God gives you to believe it. You had to believe it. Have you ever had that? Whether you wanted to or not, you had to believe it because God made you believe it. What a blessing to be under the influence of the Spirit of God and to be given to believe. The Lord give us all such grace that we may be given to say, as Thomas said, My Lord and my God. That's all for today.